trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing how you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah,
to
absolutely,
to
because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no. Good evening, O'Reilly Radio listeners. This is your host, Andy Cowan. I'm broadcasting live from my studios in beautiful somewhere in Florida. Today is show 37 for Friday, December 19th, 2014. And with me, I have the usual suspects. I've got David and I've got Mike.
Humbug.
Bah.
Well, aren't they chipper? Okay, well, it's Mike, we haven't seen you in a couple weeks. How you doing?
I've been slapped in the face by Christmas is what. Well,
anything to add about that?
Well, I guess only slightly, because one of the weeks I did go and see Phantom of the Opera, so
yeah,
it's not really Christmassy.
How did that go? That was in the new mega giant super complex, right, in Orlando?
And it's gorgeous.
Oh.
It was so good.
Sweet. So we should go. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is what I'm saying. You should go.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll see about doing that. I got a couple bits of errata from last week. That 525-page report that was chock full of bureaucratic language that was about the CIA torturing. Well, that was the redacted version. It's actually over 6,200 pages.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so that 525-page report, that's only what we were able to read out of it. So if rectal feedings, basically being anally raped with food, is what they're willing to divulge, imagine what you didn't see. Just
right?
Just imagine that. And, oh, God. Anyway, additional errata. We found out that Pope Francis didn't actually not say any nice things about puppies going to heaven when he was in the square. Nothing at all this time. We suspect that he still believes it, given that it's his namesake and all that. So he does love the animals. He does have a history of that. However, this particular story was basically made up of a mishmash of little bits and pieces from bloggers everywhere. And that was that. Nothing of real value there. So that's just one more nail in the coffin for modern journalistic integrity being flushed down the toilet. So... Of course, we got caught too, but, you know, that's what happens when we try to report on things that other people are supposed to be confirming. So, but hey.
But you know, at least you're going back and saying, hey, this was wrong.
Yeah, that was
wrong. They don't fucking do.
I mean, nobody else does. Nobody does that anymore. I think they used to do that.
Here's the kicker to all this is that we are just a bunch of random dudes on our computers. These are, you know, giant news organizations with funding, and they get duped.
mostly. If you've watched what's happened in the way news has been broadcast across the globe, essentially there's roughly five companies that produce all the content everywhere. No matter what you do, it all goes back to those five companies. And because of just, I suppose we could blame the Japanese for something called Six Sigma and Lean, which is basically trying to create an insanely productive environment designed for assembly lines, where everything, you know, uses the least number of steps, the least number of people to produce something that is high quality with a very low incident of failure or error. People don't actually work like that, especially in a more freeform environment where you're actually talking about journalism and having to report stories. That's just not how that goes.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they've butchered their workforce. Sometimes more literally than figuratively. And there's nobody on the floor. So people that would have the chance in days gone by to really kind of gumshoe it out and go figure out what the real deal was and actually talk to the sources and things like that, now they don't have time to do that. So they'll take any source they can and they'll mix it up a little bit so it looks like it wasn't plagiarism. And then they'll just copy pasta all over the place. And they have to do that in order to meet their deadline and the requirements of having to, you know, put out like 15 stories a day on maybe something they don't even know anything about. And that's just the way, that's the way the media is.
The big news organizations too are also feeding from thousands and thousands of reporters who are feeding into kind of news outlets.
Thousands of reporters, you think?
Tens of thousands, maybe millions.
No. Hundreds.
All over the world?
No, hundreds. Yeah. It's not that many anymore. Down. It's not that many anymore. Now, the people that you're referring to as the tens of thousands, those are the citizen journalists, the people that just have a cell phone camera. And they're the ones that are just on the scene and they have the thought to tweet it out. You know,
you never see
that's all we have
a report live on the scene anymore. You always see some guy in a studio showing some shaky YouTube video.
Yeah, it's all tweets and stuff. That's it.
Yeah, because they never do their own fucking jobs anymore.
Well, for the most part, they physically can't be there in the amount of time that it would take somebody with a cell phone camera to upload it to YouTube. Yeah, I mean, there's a diminishing return on that investment. Of course, also, now they don't have to go out with a truck. The truck is in their pocket on their cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, they can call it in and take pictures and do everything they need to and even do, you know, full editorial documentation on it if they really wanted to and have, you know, I got an iPad, I can type it up, you know, I got my iPhone or whatever it happens to be. And they can produce a lot. It's a different kind of environment.
Yes, but when they're producing so much that is inaccurate, either by loss of – either by distortion of the facts or by simply being fabricated, completely false, obviously the fucking system doesn't work the way you want it to.
Yeah, it works for Fox.
No, I don't call anything Fox does as working. That is not a thing.
It sells soap. It works for them.
It sells soap. It sells survival supplies and ammunition and guns.
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They sell FUD. But that's not news anymore. So what is news? So Sony
got hacked like a bitch.
Sony Pictures has been hacked terribly by a group going by the moniker of GOP, which is not, for once, the grand old party. We're not talking politics here. Well, yeah, we are talking about politics, because the GOP, or Guardians of Peace, is what they're supposedly going by. They are actually, or seemingly, this has gone back and forth a lot lately. Finally, it settled down to this is a North Korean hack of Sony Pictures. And Mike, I know that you've had your head to the grindstone of whatever life was thrown at you, and you didn't know that all of this is because of Seth Rogen's movie, The Interview.
Oh, really?
Great leader.
Yeah, really.
Great leader decided that he didn't like a movie being shot about an assassination attempt on him, basically. So with some really surprising levels of fortitude and attack strength, they hit Sony hard and they managed to remove, or let's say liberate, 12 terabytes of data from the Sony Pictures network. They installed BitTorrent engines on their servers to have their own hardware seed the very pirating that was going on. They've unleashed untold volumes. I mean, really, actually, the only amounts that they've so far released has only been a couple gig. So they got a lot in reserve. You know, a thousandfold kind of thing that they can still sort through and put up at will. Now, they didn't just get the movies. They got all of the HR records. They got all of the C-level executives' emails about why they didn't want to do a picture or what they thought of a particular actor. There was an entire expose done on why Sorkin's take on the Jobs movie, the Steve Jobs movie, mm-hmm. wasn't produced. Because all of them were in emails. You know, the entire story yeah. of why that movie wasn't going to be done laid out before the particular reporter, all in the emails from the hack. Great story, but kind of unethical to even go through it.
Just a little.
It's mostly gossip, really. But when you have Sylvester Stallone's social security number being leaked and all the pay rates for all these folks, it's insanely damaging to a company that was really not that financially solvent in the first place.
They weren't in the best shape.
They're having some problems. They're having some serious problems. And now there's a class action lawsuit against Sony. Shockingly enough, from the employees and, of course, anybody that's been breached, which would be a historical level of employees, people that have worked for them at some point in the past that have had their information now spewed across the internet. So with all this, the Guardians of Peace released a couple little jabs out there saying that they were going to perform some 9/11 style attacks against theaters that actually showed the interview. This was enough to prompt the amazingly enough, five seems to be the magic number. I think there were five different, like Regal, all those cinema houses.
Carmike.
Yeah.
AMC. Bunch of theaters decided yeah. not to show the movie, and then they Sony
just
pulled it.
They said they were just not going to. And then Sony said, fine, we're not going to release the movie. And basically then GOP did kind of like a little victory lap saying, thank you for kowtowing, basically.
Basically.
That's what we wanted. Thank you very much. And this is cyber terrorism.
Yes.
This is the first actual salvo that has been fired at a company in the United States at this magnitude, this publicly. And we just lost. We straight up rolled right over. Is there anything more to say about it?
No, there isn't. It's just, it's pathetic, really. Because,
well, Sony rolled
because
over.
We know. Because
we rolled over.
No, we fucking rolled over. Because there are people in...
As a people, we rolled over.
I know that there are people who have positions of power within our government who have been saying that our infrastructure,
not just
on government levels, but in corporate levels
better.
As well, is vulnerable.
It gets better.
And they've been saying this
over the last several years.
Yes,
Sony,
they've been saying this.
Now that we've gone through all of Sony's emails, we know that they knew.
Yes.
Because they said that the level of attack, it was a cost-benefit analysis. The risk that they thought they were in was going to cost roughly $1 million. The hardware that would take to protect them was going to cost roughly $10 million. The losses currently estimated at this point are over $100 million. And that's not including the scrapping of an entire movie. That's just in damages to personnel.
Yeah. So they're fucking morons. But this is the
They were absolutely boned by another nation state. A nation state attacked a company.
Yes, but this is all besides the point of my argument. This is the bullshit that has come out of the culture of bowing to the almighty dollar in this fucking country that you can't do a cost benefit analysis of this shit because you don't know what the other guy is capable of. You don't fucking know. So $1 million vulnerable is a load of horse shit.
Well,
you need to fucking protect yourself, and not just on corporate levels. We need to be doing it on government levels as well. If they could do that to a corporation, which, let's face it, people, corporations are more powerful than governments at this point. If they could do that to a incredibly powerful corporation, imagine what they could do to the United States government infrastructure.
Hey, guess what?
Congress is sitting there on their fucking ass doing nothing.
I got a question for you, Mike. It's not Congress can't do shit about this. They really can't. And if they did, they would muck it up worse than anybody else out there.
What they need to be doing, what's the smart thing to do, is to go to all of these people who have been warning them about our nation's infrastructure being vulnerable and saying, here's a nice big check.
No,
that's not the way they write the number that you need.
That's not the way the architecture works.
To make us secure.
That's not the way the architecture works.
If it would get off of their fucking ass.
From a technical level, that's not the way it works. We would have to rip up wire.
Yeah.
The alternative is to just stay vulnerable.
No. And Prism. They don't want it to be secure.
No. It was never intended to be secure.
The internet itself was created as a, wow, look at what we can do. Isn't this amazing? Everything's talking. Not from the perspective of, well, now that everything's talking, now what about people that we don't want to talk? That was not even part of the fundamentals. So any security layers are layered on top of things that are inherently insecure. Can you make those other layers secure? Well, yeah, eventually. But there's a lot that goes into it, and a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me are working on that all the time. Thanks to the Snowden leaks and the Chelsea Mannings out there and WikiLeaks and, you know, Julian Assange and all this, our entire culture is now shifting really very quickly, you know, culturally, to a more trust no one society where we simply don't trust people. We don't trust other companies. We certainly don't trust the government to handle these things. So really the amount of damage that's being done, there is a intrinsic value to it that is still very difficult to put your finger on because it's so embroiled with all the crap that's coming out, all the lovely yick of legalese and, you know, between having naked pictures of Jennifer Lawrence all over the internet and, you know, people's social security numbers and their pay rates going all over the place. You know, between those things, those are very personal, very sensitive things that we need to be sensitive to as people. But if we ignore that, there's something to be learned there about that damage level. Because yes, $1 million was small change. But this is the first ever. This is big. This is an escalation of what can be done and what was anticipated would be done. Never before have we seen a great leader of a nation. I use the term great in giant air quotes. Get his panties in a wad so much that he has his top notch folks go out and attack a company. He wasn't attacking the United States. He was attacking a company. Now, what's really curious here, think about all that you know from other movies. Okay. What's more secure? The government's internet infrastructure or say the casinos in Las Vegas? Which would you think has spent more money on security for things like slot machines.
Vegas.
And the Sands was hacked. This is yet another hack that I didn't put in the rundown because I just remembered it. Was also hacked. But what we're dealing with here, the FBI is not putting out a whole lot of information as to exactly how these things happened because these investigations are still ongoing. So we will know more as time progresses. But really what it looks like with Sony and what was definitely with ICANN, and ICANN is the, what's that acronym? I used to know it once upon a time when I did business directly with them.
People can't memorize certain industry acronyms. That's PCMPIA.
Nice. Thank you very little. Anyway, ICANN.org, they're the ones that do all the internet, basically. If it is a .com, a .org, a .net, any of those things are organized through ICANN.
Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers.
That's it. .org.
Internet.
Yes. They were hacked, and it was a spear phishing attempt. Now, if you're not familiar with hacking and how it's done, spear phishing is essentially a social engineering attack where they send you a specially crafted email that, for all intents and purposes, looks completely legit from somebody that you know, something that you've been waiting for, somebody that you've been dealing with, that gets you to click something. And as soon as you click something, actually, you don't even have to click something. As long as it's even shown on your computer, you could be in danger. And those come in, and voila, you've been pwned. Your system is now less under your control and more under the control of someone else. And the really good hackers aren't going to let you know that they're there. They're not going to destroy your system. They're not going to delete your data. They're just going to make copies of what they want. And they're going to sit there, and they're going to continue to observe until they get everything that they want. The ones we hear about are the ones that are gloating, the ones that thought they got away with a righteous hack. And then they got to gloat about it because, you know, their egos need that stroking. The ones we don't hear about, well, there's two kinds of companies. There's companies that have been hacked and those that don't know it yet.
Yeah.
That's it.
Here's all you need to know about hacking.
All you need to know about hacking? This I gotta hear.
Stuxnet.
Oh, Stuxnet.
Was a nation state attack on another nation state, namely Iran, to stop their nuclear program. And they targeted a facility that wasn't even hooked up to the internet.
Yeah, air-gapped system.
It was physically separated from the world and got a virus on it without having somebody on the inside sneak in. They got it on they believe it came in through a thumb drive that one of the researchers who worked there brought home. Ended up with the virus, brought it in. And this thing quietly worked in the background to destroy their ability to enrich uranium.
Well, yeah, there was key driver components that were geared towards the centrifuges that are in charge of doing some of the enriching. And
it subtly changed the configuration of the centrifuges so that they would spin at the wrong velocity and destroy themselves.
It will destroy the batch.
Yeah.
For no particular reason while reporting that everything was fine.
Yep.
Over and over and over again, basically delaying Iran's nuclear program by their estimating a year and a half. So that's something. However, that's really good. And then you find out that there's something that was even better. And right now, I can't even tell you the name because it just slipped away from my brain. But there was something that was even more insidious and being used pervasively all across the United States against our own citizens. More on that perhaps next week after Christmas. Yay.
The point is that
yeah.
In a targeted attack like this, you're pretty much going to lose.
That's the deal. Yeah. If a hacker is really intent on getting in and getting what they want, they are going to find a way. Our systems are porous enough that it can happen. Many of you out there in our internet listening audience have played role-playing games. Some of them have been like, the Cyberpunk series, Shadowrun, where you're doing milk runs against large corporations and you have to go through these epic security levels and things like that. Working in corporate America after having played those games, I've worked in Fortune 100 companies for the last 15 years. Let me tell you something.
Doesn't look like that.
There ain't no security like that anywhere. Except the casinos. The casinos, they actually have man-trap security, and they take it very seriously.
Military bases.
Military bases, not even military bases.
You haven't been to the right military bases.
No, not even.
I have been at several, though.
You haven't been to the right military bases.
Well, yes.
Dude, I have been to top secret facilities.
Well.
They're not as secure. They're not as secure as you think they are.
They're just not.
They're not.
They're remarkably porous because, again, it's a cost-benefit analysis.
But it's pathetic because you can't cost-benefit analysis something like that.
But they do.
And
they absolutely do.
Morons is what I'm saying.
Everything's a cost-benefit analysis.
Everything is.
What I'm saying is that they're fucking morons for doing that.
Well,
and this is the proof right here.
Well, you have to cost-benefit analysis because you have limited resources.
Considering the gigantic fucking blank checks the American military gets from our government, considering they have so much money they don't even know where it's all gone anymore, no, they don't have a fucking excuse.
Given that 60% of our national budget is military?
Yeah, they don't have a fucking excuse.
Yeah.
Secure your shit.
They should. But, you know, bullets cost money, so they gotta buy the bullets.
You gotta buy the bullets and the tanks and the guns.
Yeah.
They got to keep those corporations in business because they view that as an investment in maintaining a capability that we might need in a war versus an enemy we can't define anymore because we run out of enemies that have invested heavily in their military.
Now we fight concepts. We don't even fight nations anymore. We fight concepts. The war on terror.
It's a psychological problem. They're all living back in the days of
Cold War.
Yeah, Cold War.
Yeah.
And even before that, and like Korea and shit, when we were actually, it was actually, you know, boots on the ground. That's not how wars are fought anymore. Wars are fought and wars are won by a guy sitting in front of a computer half a world away. And this is the proof. This is the proof that all these old douchebags who don't know what the world is anymore need to get the fuck out of any position of power and let people who actually know what's going on take the reins.
Yeah, this is definitely a paradigm shift. And speaking of paradigm shifts and the Cold War, Obama announced a dramatic shift in our U.S.-Cuba policy. So
50 years overdue.
Early on in just when he was still Senator Obama. You know, running. He went down to, you know, the big houses in Miami, and he talked the talk the same as all the other presidents had. That, yes, it needs to be corrected, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, that was just vapor. Nothing ever came from that. Well, now, our lame duck president is completely securing his legacy by changing the way the United States is going to handle Cuba. Now, of course, a lot of this has to go through Congress and everything, but there are certain things that change without Congress. So, let's see, according to MSNBC out here, they've got some quotes from, I'm not sure who. Anyway, in a surprise move, President Obama planned to announce on Wednesday that Washington is moving to restore full diplomatic relations with Havana following the release of imprisoned American aid worker Alan Gross. President Obama and Cuban President Raul Castro spoke yesterday on the phone for 45 minutes to review and finalize the plan, according to senior administration officials. High-level negotiations between Washington and Havana began last spring, facilitated by the Canadian government and the Vatican. Pope Francis personally intervened, sending a letter to Presidents Obama and Raul, urging the release of Gross and the three Cubans imprisoned in the U.S. and calling for closer relations, according to senior administration officials. So maybe it's also going to be a bit of a legacy item for Pope Francis as well, to build that bridge. I saw a little editorial cartoon, very cute, with Pope Francis parting the straits in between. In between Key West and Cuba.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like, oh, isn't that's adorable. But it's pretty significant. There's an amazing outcry of people on both sides of the aisle, and all, as I note, mostly people that have something to gain from continuing the stupid embargoes that have been placed on the poor country, and people that are relics of the Cold War. Cold War is over, folks.
If anyone can be said to have won, no one can even be said to have won, because it was stupid. Nothing really came out of it. It's just over now.
Well, we started with the USSR. Which is no longer a country.
Just so get over it. It's fucking done.
Technically speaking, I dare say everybody lost.
Yes.
Considering we just pissed money down the toilet.
We did 50 years of harm to Cuba's economy and to their people for the sake of taking Castro out of power, and it was completely 100% ineffective.
Yeah. We just pissed money down the toilet for decades for no reason.
Yeah. Well, so, this seems to be kind of what we do. Let's see. So, Obama said, "Now I know what the easy thing is to do for American politicians." Obama will say, according to prepared experts, every 4 years they come down to Miami, they talk tough, they go back to Washington, and nothing changes in Cuba. That's what John McCain did the other day. Oh, yeah, this was from the 2008 thing. And that's old news, so it doesn't really make a whole big difference. I think there might be a clip there, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because you're going to see this already if you haven't. If you haven't seen it, you're going to see it soon. And it'll be covered by bigger pundits than me. So it's really something to watch as another country of the Soviet and communist variety is also having some serious problems. Due to continued and increasing sanctions against Russia, coupled with the falling global oil prices, Russia's economy is kind of in a free fall, kind of in a spin downward. It's all sorts of bad. At this point, technology companies like Apple have stopped selling their gear entirely, simply because the market's there, but the rapid onset of inflation means that the money is worthless to them.
Yeah.
So even if they let it come in, it's not going to be worth the same the next day.
So they're not bothering.
Yeah. So that's essentially stalling any economic growth, because there's nothing to buy.
Yeah.
So, Wow. Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
Well, this will rein in their military expansion.
You'd think.
You say that.
You'd think.
I hear you hoping.
Yeah.
But that's not what's going to happen here, because the last time the ruble tanked, they got aggressive as shit.
And they were already aggressive with the whole Crimea and Ukraine deal.
Yeah. I mean, the last time the ruble tanked was right before what was it? What did they do? Shit, I can't even remember now. It's been so long since I've taken a history class. But their response was to start invading, was to start taking other people's
Georgia?
Money. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's their response, because as the Russian leadership, again, they're all fucking holdovers of the USSR. They want to go back to the glory days of the motherland, and the world doesn't work like that anymore.
Putin warns, this is out on the Daily Mail, which of course is a wonderful rag, but you know, they got good headlines. Putin warns U.S. relations will be damaged for a long time if new sanctions are imposed, while announcing he has invited Kim Jong-un to Moscow. Maybe it's because you're associated with the wrong sorts of people.
Yeah.
And we don't like that. Maybe. But yeah, he's not offering a lot of solutions, but he's saying that, of course, that their economy is going to be much stronger at the end.
Of course.
Well, yeah, everything's cyclical.
Yeah. And it's very doubtful that anybody's ever going to oust the guy that basically would ride a bear through Moscow without a shirt on.
I mean, ride a bear.
It's funny because it's true.
I know, yeah. He is such a caricature, but, you know, he's... I suppose if we're going to go up against another country politically, it might as well be one that has a Bond villain as their president.
Right?
He's good for that.
But Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
So, interesting thing. I was trying to figure out, why are gas prices so low right now? Because the president doesn't have shit to say about that. It's happening on his watch, and perhaps some of his policies have shaped a little bit of it, but he does not directly control the price of gas.
No.
But he sure is not going to take credit for it, and I wouldn't blame him for doing that either.
He does share some credit for it.
Well, apparently.
Pushing the oil boom in Nebraska has been...
Yes, it's fracking.
Fracking and natural gas.
Yeah, to make the fracking... cost effective, you have to have a certain price per barrel set up. So what OPEC has decided to do is flood the market with cheaper oil to make fracking and manufacture of alternative sources non-viable. So that's what we have.
Yep.
Amazingly enough, we have fracking to thank for low gas prices.
Yeah. And I say, keep that shit flowing.
Well,
keep it rolling.
Eventually, they will break.
Eventually, they will, but also at the same time, you know, keep the infrastructure in place, but do it a little cleaner. You got some time now.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure's off. Perfect the damn system. Stop destroying the groundwater and making the water in people's well taps flammable. Have you seen that? People lighting their faucets on fire?
That's 100% oversight failure.
Yeah.
Because we need less government in our lives.
Oh, obviously. Yes. Deregulation.
Yes,
My water's on fire. Yeah. Oh, no, that's...
Maybe because all government regulation ever does is hurt the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wait, what's the other one?
Burning water?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so wonderful.
That doesn't hurt the little guy, though.
Fuck you, GOP.
So,
not the Guardians of Peace.
No, not the Guardians of Peace. They'll fuck those guys, too.
The grand old party of douchebags.
So since we're talking about global things and unintended consequences, this is a wonderful spin directly into something that isn't going to get a whole lot of lip service here in the United States. Google News has different offerings for different regions. So as we've been following Google in their litigations with the European Union, and specifically with the right to be forgotten and yanking things out of their search results and, you know, all the privacy, it's amazing how private the European Union wants to be. They really don't like the internet and this technology. They're kind of Luddites in that respect. So they want what it gives them, but they don't like the technology itself. It freaks them out. So in Germany, they managed to write up a bill, and it was up to the individual companies whether or not they wanted to be listed and whether or not they made Google pay.
basically. Now, Google's not going to pay shit, because that's not something that they need to do, especially for Google News, because Google News does not serve advertising. It is a completely free service.
It's one of the few left.
They, well, it came out of one of the engineers' 20% projects, because at Google, all their engineers have 20% of their time to do whatever the hell they want.
And which is fucking brilliant.
Which is why you get feature creep on a lot of Google properties, where things will just kind of spring out of, like, why are you doing that? That's not a search engine. What the fuck are you doing? Well,
hey, here's this thing that we did.
Yeah.
Why? Because we felt like it.
Because an engineer said, that's a problem and I can fix it with this.
I can fix it with science.
And then they did. So it ended up that some Google engineer, brilliant guy, obviously, said, you know what? I'm not getting the news from around the world. I can fix this. I just need to build a little algorithm and I can just have it aggregated all for me. Just pull it from all the sources and list it for me. That's what we do here. I can do that. So he did it.
Hey, look at this. It works.
Yeah. So he made Google News. So then, of course, that generates a lot of click-through. Lots of click-through. Now, the problem that the different news agencies are whining about, and it is whining, and I'll tell you why in a minute. They're whining that with Google News, you get a snippet. And some of those snippets are so good, you might not actually ever have to go to the article. So they're saying, basically, you are scraping our content and serving it up and then stealing the people that would go.
Well, here's the answer for you. Here's the answer for you, news people. Actually do a job that's worth us fucking paying for.
Oh, no. Wait. It gets even better than that. They found out the hard way when they went ahead and Google said, okay, well, here's all the things that you need to do to just delist yourself. So they delisted. They experienced double-digit drops in percentage of traffic.
Yep. Fuck you guys.
A clear sign that they were getting straight click-through. Now, what happened in Spain was they went one step further. They decided to actually make it a tax, where, since it was optional in Germany, Spain made it mandatory that Google pay per click, basically, that goes through.
Yeah, that'll happen.
So Google said, we don't serve any advertising. We don't make any money off this product, so we're going to shut it down then.
Yeah.
So now what's absolutely ludicrous is that all these little news agencies, because of the law, they're trying to get another law passed to save their ass by forcing through law Google continue to offer the service in Spain.
No, fuck you.
I know. It's like, you're not even based in Spain.
You lost, douchebags.
You lost so hard.
Wrong because you tried to be greedy little shits.
Yeah.
At the end of that road is Google says, we no longer offer service to Spain.
Yeah. It says right here, this new legislation requires every Spanish publication to charge services like Google News for showing even the smallest snippet from their publications, whether they want to or not. As Google News itself makes no money, we do not show any advertising on this site. This new approach is simply not sustainable. That said, Richard Gingras, the head of Google News.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Spain. If you really push this, Google's just going to pull out of the country entirely.
Yeah.
And if you lose Google,
here's what he continued.
There's huge portions of business that are going to just tank
here
in your fucking country.
Here's some statistics for you. He said Google was driving more than 10 billion clicks to publisher websites every month, and its AdSense product, which delivers ads to websites, paid out over $9 billion to publishers last year, up from $7 billion the years before.
Right.
Google News is currently available in 70 international editions covering 35 languages.
Wow.
Yeah. We're so, you know, America-centric here. We had no idea how big this damn thing was. But it's out there, and it's being used by everybody. Now, the European Union, they pick on Google the most because Google is the number one by a landslide search engine used everywhere.
Everywhere.
We're talking 90%+. It's not even close to any other competitor. And the government hates that. They absolutely hate companies over in Europe, basically. They love people, but they hate companies. And the people, they love Google because it offers them a really great service. That's why they use it.
Yeah, they provide a great service, and it's simply not worth going anywhere else because you can't get what you can get with them anywhere else.
Yeah. It's something to watch because with the unintended consequences of what they're doing, they're with the right to be forgotten. We've covering that. Oh my God, that's just ridiculous. So another country can order a country in another part of the world that doesn't even really operate fully in their nation to follow their laws. That's what that ends up being. At the
it
end
ends
of the
up
day.
Being censorship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the end of that road is just pure censorship.
Yeah. That's all this bullshit is. And I like the European Union for a lot of things that they do. I do.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, especially on economic things. I think that they are on the right track. But when it comes to this right here, no, you're full of shit. You do a thing and it gets out into the world. Well, guess what? You did the thing. You don't get to hide that you did the thing because you're ashamed of it. You did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Suck it up.
Yeah, you don't want that to be seen, then you need to make better news to push it down in the search results.
If you didn't want it to get out, you shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Well, things happen. Things happen. I mean, with...
Things happen, but you know what?
Well...
At the end, we're living in the information age.
Yes.
And for all intents and purposes, you know, you go onto Facebook and you pull up your friend who's got a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And their child's entire life from conception to present day
is
on the internet in pictures.
Yeah, my kids are growing up on the internet. Yeah.
And in blogs and in emails. And all of that stuff is there forever. Yeah. It never goes away.
In modern reality, and this is something that people need to get used to or go live in the woods, there is no privacy.
Yes.
There isn't. This is not a planet of nations anymore. This is a single planet that's all connected. Everything is out there from everybody.
Well, there's a billion or so people who aren't on the internet yet, so they still have privacy.
Yeah, a bunch of them are in Cuba. So known popularly as the Google tax, the law requires services that post links to pay. So that was the... Authorities will have the power to fine websites up to 600,000 euros. That's $748,000
web economy
for linking to pirated content. Yeah. So, I mean, this is
because
like
now that Google's put out of the game, the people in charge of enforcing that have to justify their job somehow. So they're going to turn on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. As soon as you make a law, then you have to have somebody to enforce the law, and then the law enforces the law and reinforces the law. And
it's kind of like, how do you kill a hydra? You get it to eat itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah. So at this point, this is an absolutely devastating blow to print media in Spain. It's a big bad.
It's a devastating blow to web media. Hey, if they want to go back to getting their news through newspapers,
that's what they're going to have to do. Yeah.
That's the only way they're going to be able to do it.
And they're going to start falling behind real quick because newspapers are a dying business for a reason.
Yeah.
For a reason.
Yeah. People were still wrap fish. You know, paper mache is becoming a really hot thing on YouTube now.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
what else are you going to do with the fucking newspaper?
There's still a point to have the newspaper, I suppose, but,
There's an entire generation coming up that doesn't order newspapers.
Yeah.
And we're it.
I haven't had a newspaper since I lived with my parents. They still get newspapers. I don't know why.
There's entire generations that don't exactly understand the whole dialing a number. They don't understand what dialing a number actually means.
Yeah, because that's from, you don't have to do it.
No, because that's from rotary dial a number. They've never had to do that. They don't even know what a rotary dial phone is. They don't know
what
pulse...
I've done it once in my life at my great-grandparents' house.
They don't know what pulse dialing is.
My parents had a rotary dial phone. It was cool.
I still have one.
Of course you do. Of course Andy Cavan still has one. Why am I not surprised? That's
works
right,
too.
Because he has everything.
It works, too. It's plugged in. It's in my kitchen. It's avocado green.
Awesome.
Actually, I wonder if you guys can see it on the video. Let's see. Switch over.
It's the one. It's directly across, right above the light switch there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I remember that.
It doesn't come through too well.
No, not too well. Yeah. There.
Very green.
Yeah, it's there. So.
I kind of feel like the king in History of the World.
It is. It's green. Yeah. Yeah. So let's see what's left in the rundown here.
Arm amputee.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. We're kind of a science heavy show today. Tech heavy at least. With all the hacking. So yes, we have some fantastic stuff. A guy named Les Bau made history at John Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory this summer when he became the first bilateral shoulder-level amputee to wear and simultaneously control two of the laboratory's modular prosthetic limbs. I have provided the YouTube link directly beneath that in our show notes, which are available out at www.oreillyradio.com. This is now a fantastic time to say, why haven't you come out and seen us? You need to email us. You need to leave us a voicemail at 470-222-6759. You can email us at oreillyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Come on, participate in the show. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you don't like. I might listen to it. I may play it on the show. You know, come on. Make this your show too. You know, I know that you're out there. Because I have statistics from Google.
So we know they're good.
I know that they're there. I know you're listening to at least some of the show. Maybe not all of it, I understand. It's a long show sometimes. I'm here doing the show. I understand how long it is.
We do kind of go on, don't we?
We do, like now. Anyway, so come on, give us some stuff. Oh, go like us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're out there, okay? You can find us. Just type in O-R-L-Y radio in any search engine, and you're going to find us, okay? We're going to pop up. We're going to be there, I swear. Search engine optimization, baby. So anyway, you can go out and you can follow that link and see the video. It's really incredible because since he doesn't have his arms, you know, he has to control everything that would be in the arms, and a lot of those nerves are just not there. So what they had to do was they had to surgically reroute some of the nerve fibers from the stumps that were his shoulders down into his chest so that the pads that he wears for the prosthetics could then touch the right places so that he can then control them with the muscle twitches that his brain is now mapped to. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
All I can think of is Deus Ex. That's all that's going through my head right now is the new Deus Ex where he's got two cyber arms.
I give it 10, 20 years tops, 10 to 20 years before they have prosthetics that are better than your actual limbs.
These look really rad.
They're
and I've totally dated myself by saying that they're rad, but yeah,
very close.
they're sweet. They're really sweet.
It's so. Really freaking sweet, guys.
Oh man, you gotta say it.
He's like, you gotta watch the video, but this dude has 24 ranges of movement.
I thought it was 27.
He can, it's
27 points of movement and in
charm.
But he can,
you know, raise his arm, twist his arm, bend his elbow, twist the wrist.
That's a full,
I don't know if he can angle the wrist, but yeah, he can grip.
It's a full five-fingered hand.
Yeah.
It's a full five-fingered hand. I don't know if he can operate the fingers individually yet.
I think
they may get there.
Not sure, though. Yeah, but he can grasp things. It's really, it's amazing. It's going to be a life changer for him. One of the things that he mentioned, which I think was, really poignant was what happened was he lost, both in an accident like 40 years ago. So he's lived an awful lot of his life without arms. And he would just like to be able to put change in a Coke machine. Just by himself, he'd like to be able to put change in a Coke machine again. And I think that is like, wow, that's human. That's just a really human level response to that kind of thing.
It's such an incredibly honest response. He didn't try to say anything meaningful. He just said what he felt, and it worked better than anything any of us could probably come up with, I'm sure.
It's like, wow.
Well, I don't think he was aiming for anything in particular. They asked him, what would you most want to do?
And
he's probably just sitting there at those Coke machines going, man, I wish I could just get myself a fucking soda.
I want a soda.
Yeah, he might have had that in the corner of his eye, and nobody was there to help him. It's really incredible. So, John Hopkins University, Good job. Keep up the fantastic work. And I, for one, welcome our soon robot overlords.
Well, they'll be cybernetic first.
Well, the arms themselves...
And they'll be powered by Google, so it's okay.
Exactly. Well, the arms themselves are actually products of DARPA.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One day, positronic brains, we're just going to upload ourselves, and we're all going to live forever in some thing. It'll be great.
Maybe indestructible body.
Yes.
That can survive the vacuum of space.
That'll be fun.
Right?
Now, since we're talking about brains, now we have to talk about a dark subject. And it's a weird one. Because it's one of those, you know, I don't know how I feel about this, other than bad. So... No, because it evokes so many different levels of emotion.
No, I get what you're saying. It's just the way you put that just tickled me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yes, that's the way it is.
I need to get some laughter in on the proceedings before we move to before you actually tell us what the topic is, because it is.
I've been thinking about this topic all day, actually.
Yeah, just go.
Okay, so. There's a woman that was in her 20s, 16 weeks pregnant. She is currently on life support and brain dead. And to save her unborn baby, that's why she is currently still on life support. Because her parents, now remember, she's 20. Okay, so, and it's in Ireland, so the laws are different, you know, where that separation of parental responsibility and who would be, well, even in the United States, you know, now you can be on your parents' insurance until you're 26. So we could take it from there. So she would be a dependent to them. We do not know where the dad is. In all this. And certainly that is a concern. But the parents want her to be able to die in peace. They don't want her to be on life support. They
for
want
another 24 weeks.
They want the plug pulled. Yeah. I mean, just doing the math, if the baby was going to be at a, you know, make it to a full 40 week term, that's another 24 weeks. you can do a cesarean, because obviously she's not going to be giving birth naturally. You can do a cesarean at, you know, any time after viability, you know, say 32 weeks.
That's still 16 weeks away.
Yeah. That's 16 weeks of 100% life support.
Yeah. The person here is gone. And the other thing that is growing inside of her is not a person yet. What the fuck are you guys doing?
No, yeah, and at 16 weeks,
the law in Ireland gives a mother and an unborn child the same legal status.
Yeah. And which is a load of horseshit. But aside from the moral implications of this, because I've made my stance on abortion very clear in the past. So you, government, are forcing these parents to keep their child on life support against their wishes. But again, stepping aside from the moral imperative of this, because I think your moral argument is a load of shit. Who's footing the bill?
That's a great
life support
great question.
Is not cheap.
Now,
and you're
going
to force them to pay for it because of your bullshit.
Now we have a different mindset to the pay thing here in the United States because everything's so freaking expensive. Now in Great Britain. You know, in England and in Ireland for the most part.
It is significantly cheaper over there. But
no, I think it's
still,
free, actually. I think it's completely subsidized.
Do they have a fully socialized system? I don't think they do.
I think
we have to look that up because I don't think they're one of them.
I think they might be. Hello, Google.
I have no idea.
Ireland healthcare system information.
My
healthcare of the Republic of Ireland.
Where is the father, and what is his level of involvement? Does he want the child?
I would say the father is irrelevant.
Yeah, considering that this has been all over the news, and he is undoubtedly going to know.
He might not know.
He might not know that she's carrying his kid.
Either
he doesn't know, in which case he's going to be blissfully ignorant for the rest of his life, or he does know and he doesn't want the kid. Either way, he's not part of the picture.
Yeah. So that we can only work with the information that we have. So assuming, you know what? Maybe whatever caused her to be in a brain dead status killed him too. There. That's where he is. Gone.
Dead.
So just, just to work out the argument points, he is not an option.
Right.
So
given that she is a ward, unless there is somebody that is willing to take on rearing the child from birth to wherever, they should just pull her off life support.
And don't say, well, they can put her in the foster care system, because every foster care system in the world is shit. We all know this.
Adopt. Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that don't want to adopt.
There's a lot of people who want to adopt, and they end up going to China and South Africa and fucking Korea.
Because those are the places
they can actually adopt from those places.
Yeah, because they actually can.
So it'd be expensive and so much fucking red tape that it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like here.
And our overburdened, underfunded, and just plain old shitty foster care system.
It's ugly. It's ugly. My dad worked for the Department of Children and Families as a foster care supervisor for a couple years, and it was hard. It was really hard for him, and he's seen some bad things. Kids getting bounced around from home to home, because you're not dealing with just, it's never a clean-cut case, ever.
Ever.
Because you're dealing with people.
And people are complicated.
And you're dealing with people with more baggage than you've probably ever encountered in your day-to-day life. Because little kids that have grown up in everyone else's house, not being allowed to be kids in most parts.
No one has
that emotional safety net of a real family.
Yeah, if you were not adopted, then you, no matter what you think you've gone through in your life, you have not gone through shit compared to them. I was in a division when I was in the Navy with a couple of guys who were, and the horror stories they used to tell, it was a nightmare. I can't even repeat them. I cannot bring myself to repeat some of the things they told me because it was that awful. The shit that they lived through growing up. of the guys in my division was in my division because he ran away from home. And rather than go back, he opted to enlist. He would rather immediately go into the military and put his life on the line because he had no formal education, so he couldn't get any of the decent jobs. He was going to be a grunt.
Yeah.
So he went in because it was better than going back. That's how shitty that is.
Yeah. Claire found some sort of report where, you know, right around this time of year, everybody's leaving college to go home with their family, except for the foster kids who are over 18 because they have nowhere to go.
Yeah. That's the way it is. After a cursory analysis of Ireland's the healthcare system in the Republic of Ireland, according to the fount of all knowledge, Wikipedia, they have a really high satisfaction rate, like in the 97% with the healthcare system. In certain cases, most things are covered at 100% or within some sort of subsidized rate. There's a couple different methods, whether or not there's a medical card like what we'd have for Medicare or Medicaid, and then you can also have private health insurance as well to receive, you know, a greater benefit. There are a lot of waiting lists because of things that are, you know, you're dealing with everybody. Yeah. So some care takes more time. In this particular case, since it's the hospital making the call to keep her on life support, I'm thinking that this falls very much under their own deal.
Pro bono.
Yeah, so
well, it fucking better be.
So I don't think that I think the cost is
actually
going to be...
I think they're
going
to kick that ball up to the government, because the reason they won't pull the plug is because of that law, which puts the child on equal footing as the mother.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So the doctors are fulfilling their Hippocratic oath under the legal system that they are working with. That child unborn is a person, and they have an obligation to not harm that person.
Yeah. So they're in a bad place. They're just trying to figure out what they can do anyway. let's see.
Bye.
There's just so much.
There's no good way out of that.
No.
No.
There's no good way out of it until people pull their heads out of their asses and get out of the dark ages.
Well.
There's no
good way out of it until people stop being pro-birth and start actually giving a shit to what happens to kids after they're born.
Yeah. Why is this thing about supposedly being pro-life, which it's not, it's pro-birth, because you don't give a shit about the kid once it's out. Why is that more important than someone's right to die? Because that is what really bugs me.
Because of the magical spark that they think is a soul.
But. It doesn't matter. It's not a person. If you pull it out of that body right now, it won't survive. It's not a person until it can do that.
Right.
You're full of shit.
Scientifically, we know this. But the people that deal with these things, this is an emotional issue almost
exclusively. And that's why they need to get their heads out of their asses and grow the fuck up.
Yeah, here's my position is, you know, I really hope that, and I'm echoing a sentiment that I read on this and one of the threads.
Oh god, the comments.
But some of them are good.
Oh god, the comments.
Wow. Oh no, it's because this does become a right to life issue with abortion and everything.
It's an unforgiving and vile place.
It sure is.
It's,
with that said,
I'd rather go to YouTube comments.
I sure hope that everybody who's saying every child should be born no matter what is out there adopting as many kids as they possibly can.
Yeah. Really, really think about what you're saying. Every kid should be born no matter what. What about the kids that are born into poverty? What about the kids that are born into a congenital disease that is going to ravage them for the entirety of their short, short lives? What about those people? What about the kids that are being born to pedophile parents? Huh? Where's their right to a life?
Chicken baby syndrome. You know, abusive household.
There's a lot of people
to death. in the fucking wastelands.
There's a lot of people that never, ever should have been parents.
Yeah.
But
really,
but their
really
biology works.
In here.
Yeah. The baby factory works. That doesn't mean that it's a good thing.
Doesn't mean you should have a fucking kid.
Yeah.
My position.
Then you get into eugenics.
I think I've made my position clear as being pro-choice, but the reason I got there was simply a shit. I just lost the
How did you get there?
How did I get there?
Can't get that from here.
I brained out.
You going over there to buy liquor?
You cannot brain, you have the dumb.
I have the dumb. The dumb has overtaken me.
It happens.
I have lost with the I was about to say.
I have had my life to determine my understanding on this.
I have rebrained.
Okay.
Okay.
Reboot. Yes.
Abortion's a symptom of a problem. Abortion in and of itself is not the problem. Abortion is a service that people seek out to avoid a problem that they see, which is so overwhelming to them that they can't see another way through it. So why don't we work on that? And, you know, when abortion goes away because of lack of demand, you have won.
Yeah.
You do not win by outlawing this shit.
Yeah, you have to reduce the demand for the service.
It's like preaching abstinence only education. Yes, you think, you really think that if you terrorize these kids, no teenagers will ever have sex ever again. Are you a fucking moron?
Do you forget when you were a teenager? That's what I have to ask these people.
It's a hardwired biological imperative, and teenagers aren't exactly in control of themselves. They're gonna fuck. And
we live in a society where...
And then they're going to seek out abortions.
And you know,
and it's all your fault.
So many of those abstinence-only educators, they also proclaim that you shouldn't masturbate, too.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And blindness and hairy palms, I hear.
I know. I'm just thinking, it's like, wow, you must be absolutely no fun in any way, shape, or form.
Ironically,
our bodies are
meant... who are the biggest freaks.
Our bodies are proportioned where our limbs automatically go to our genitals.
Automatically.
I don't think that's by accident.
Literally a natural resting state.
It's a natural. You just put your hands in your lap. Oh, look, I'm so close to my dick. That's amazing.
but you make a good point.
You know, one thing's going to happen, you know, I got a scratch. Oh, that feels kind of good. Okay. You know, and well, one thing leads to another and
it just evolves from there.
Yeah.
You make a good point, Dave, that these are the people that are fucking freaks. They're inhuman. They're unnatural because they're denying a basic biological imperative that there's nothing wrong with it.
I do love a priest or a nun that has, you know, taken the vow of celibacy and then they preach abstinence only. As if it's the most the natural thing to do.
Yeah. So maybe
you're an unnatural person.
It in your life.
it's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, we're in on that. And I came to the conclusion that, it's not my body. I'm a man. I should not have any say in this.
Yeah.
I have input, but I do not have ultimate decision making.
I see what you did there, Mr. Input.
Takes two.
You gotta punch that enter key. You gotta return.
There's that. But ultimately, I would not be the one carrying to term. No. The burden of that does not lie with me.
My position is simply thus. Whichever side of the every child should be born or should be parents' choice you're on, every child should be wanted.
Yeah, I like that.
What do you do with the unwanted ones? And they are out there.
Allow them to not be born into a household where they're not wanted or into a society that does not want them Because if we really wanted them, we'd make them a much bigger focus of our, you know, social order.
And we don't.
And we do not do that. So no. The people out there preaching pro-life and whatnot and showing pictures of dead babies, I just want to stand there with a competing billboard showing them a beaten to death baby and say, why don't you fix this? And then we'll have less of that.
Yeah. Fix this before you fix that.
Because which one's the bigger tragedy? The child that was born and then beaten to death.
Yeah.
Or molested.
The kid that was actually a person when it was traumatized or brutalized or killed. That's what actually fucking matters here.
Yes. In death, we all have a name.
His name is Robert Paulson.
Paulson.
His name is Robert Paulson.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. Anyway.
It's good soap.
So we're not going to come to a conclusion on that. However, they are taking it to court, because this can only be determined by the High Court. So Dublin High Court most likely would determine whether or not this woman will be kept alive artificially until the baby can be delivered, according to Irish medical law expert Dr. Adam McCauley. The case is scheduled for next Tuesday. So
they are faster than our courts.
Way faster.
Well, I imagine that there's enough folks out there that are watching this case that they just streamlined. Somehow, sometimes that can be done. You know, it's unfair to all the other cases, of course, but
the world's not fair.
The world is not a fair. The world is not a fair place. Yeah. So right around Christmas too. That's really interesting that they're able to get this. So it's supposed to be heard on the 23rd. So
crazy.
You know what? I'll see what I can do about keeping up on this and let you know what happens next time. But I imagine that they're just going to let her be a biological incubator.
Oh, absolutely. With how religious that country is, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. So
and that's the abomination before God right there.
Right. And then, you know, are the grandparents going to then raise the child, or they're going to have to? Because
by the logic of keeping her alive as an incubator, we should genetically modify ourselves to create new life forms, because that is our God-given potential.
No, but
there's sacred duty to create new life, right?
Messing with God's
David, where the fuck are you going with that?
Remember? That's why you're not supposed to get tattoos or piercings.
What, plugging her into a fucking load of machines isn't heresy?
This is what I'm saying. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Any way you look at it, they're morons.
The rabbit hole.
This is why I'm an atheist.
Let's see how far we can go down the rabbit hole.
This is why I'm an atheist. So, nah.
Nah.
Okay.
This is why I'm agnostic.
Well, I used to be agnostic, and then I realized that was bullshit, too. So, I'm not saying anybody's ever going to come around to the way I think, and that's fine.
Yeah,
to each their own, you must walk this path alone.
The existence of God has not been proven. The existence of God has not been disproven.
Right.
So, that is where I'm at with the stalemate of agnostic.
Yes.
What it boils down to, from the religious person of the group, is that by God's own admission, God is an absentee father figure. He has put us on this earth, and then he backed off, and he's letting us do our thing. So it doesn't fucking matter if he's here or not. Our morality is determined by us.
I just don't think that.
Created the universe by masturbating. He said, this is joy, and before he came, and then there was stars.
I like that. Anyway,
hilarious.
So, we got a couple other nicer things to talk about.
We do.
Curiosity rover found methane on Mars.
Sweet.
And they were also finding heavy hydrogen. And they measured the hydrogen in the Martian atmosphere about
3 billion to 3.7 billion years ago based on depth, and the finding could help them pin down when they lost their atmosphere. And then, of course, lost all the liquid water.
Yeah, I think it cooked off.
Well, it kind of would have, like, sublimated into nothing.
Yeah, it's just floating around in space. Some of it probably came into our atmosphere.
Panspermia!
They found a living...
They found organic molecules on... The Philae found organic molecules on the comet, didn't they?
Sweet. I believe so. And also, they took... They set a satellite up with some bacteria basically on the heat shield. Mm-hmm. And they shot that back through the atmosphere. And stuff survived.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
So it's possible that we could have been seeded with life from another planet.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. I missed taking a note on it, but there was another study where they were trying to manufacture enough high power lightning, basically, to generate the complex RNA molecules.
Yeah.
And they did.
Sweet.
So
awesome.
It is fully possible that RNA can be created from little more than a bit of a soup and enough electricity.
Yep. And time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's been the prevailing theory for a while because in early stages of Earth's development, it was just basically a giant ocean with a lightning storm on top.
Yes. Now that's everywhere. RNA, not DNA.
But so trying RNA to, builds DNA.
Yes, but trying to get to the point where you get that self-replicating, you know, system going. You know, the crank engine of the Model T engine of life. We're not exactly sure how that happens, but we are getting ever closer. So that's out there too. So it's been a busy week for science. Which is fantastic. Science.
And Kitty says hello.
Bless science. Hail Sagan.
Yes. And, then there's this Florida man.
Florida man.
Is this the Florida man you were talking about, Dave?
This is the Florida man. Florida man wanders around setting cars and dumpsters on fire.
Now, why he got to go do that?
It's got to be drugs. Because people on pure air don't do things like this.
Well, maybe if the air is super... Wow, he's a looker.
He's a looker. I don't think he's got teeth.
Wow.
That's the kind of mouth that says, I don't have any.
Or an upper palate. Or humor.
If I looked like that, I would have a great sense of humor.
Wow, guys, you gotta look at this dude.
So, he's 44 years old.
John Julian.
Midlife crisis, that is. So he set two vehicles in a dumpster outside Kingdom Auto Sales shop on fire! Okay. And then he set another fire in another dumpster near a Brazilian steakhouse.
Also on Pine Avenue. Stay away from Pine Avenue.
Yeah, beware Marion County. This man has been apprehended.
Straight up arson.
Which means he was of you.
Yeah.
And where there's one, there's bound to be more.
He's, people's faces and their skin tells a story. And in this mugshot,
a story that says rode hard and put away wet.
Well, he's got a tan line, a very distinct tan line around his neck. And I see a lot of discolored spotches there. Now, given the particular line of work that I'm in and the things that I know about this line of work, dude's been out in the sun way too long for way too much of his life. Cause that's skin cancerous right there.
Yeah.
So
talk about weather beacon.
Yeah, he's an outdoorsy type. Probably not on purpose. And Wow, that nose. It's like it's not even his.
Looks like somebody's thumb.
It does. It's really it.
It's just missing a thumbnail.
It's like it doesn't belong on that face.
It's probably been reconstructed.
With a fist.
And then reconstructed again with
and his,
another fist.
You notice his other his ear is kind of doing one of those sloth things where it's going off to the other side?
But Stephen Colbert has a droopy ear, too. That's not that out of them.
Yeah, but that's Stephen Colbert. This guy's an arsonist. So I can poke fun at him a little bit.
You can poke fun at Stephen Colbert all you want. That guy pokes fun at himself.
That's
that
true.
That guy's amazing, and his show will be missed.
Yep.
Well, his show will be missed, but, oh boy, I can't wait for the new one. Because, yes, in case you have also been hiding under a rock, Stephen Colbert had his last show on Comedy Central, and now he's moving on. And I can't wait to see what he does next.
Seriously.
Because it'll be interesting. Yeah, go out to Comedy Central and watch some of the last numbers. He did some amazing stuff, and like everybody came to his last show. So
he interviewed Smaug.
Yes, he interviewed Smaug. So you were mentioning that too.
That was great.
There were a couple things that I'm not sure that we mentioned. Did we mention last week that the models of Greenland's ice melting?
I don't know. I was not here.
Okay. Well, it's melting and it's bad. I can't remember whether or not I mentioned it. I just figured that this would kind of be one of those things that maybe you ought to be at least aware of. It's not so good. Basically, a lot of the forecast models that they had for Greenland, Greenland, by the way, is covered in ice, so it's not really green. Hmm. So it's the mislabeled giant island out there. It's the largest island in the world. Even though I would rather classify Australia as that, it's not, you know, because that's actually a continent because of the whole tectonic plate thing. Anyway, this is an island and it's covered in, a several mile thick sheet of ice. Due to its topography, it melts in certain ways and it will create lakes basically on top of the ice of melted ice, throughout the sheet itself, and it will then create kind of rivers from these lakes. And if you have moving water, you are generating kinetic energy into the system, and that kinetic energy will then melt the ice more quickly. So as these lakes are getting larger, A, they're no longer as reflective as ice, so they get warmer faster than the surrounding ice, and that then kicks off a bit of a runaway effect where if you have a larger lake, it will melt and get even larger still. And then you have runoff, you have more kinetic energy, and that starts to degrade the underlying layers of ice even faster. So they weren't taking into account how large some of these lakes are becoming and how long they're staying around. And now they're reevaluating the model of how quickly
the ice sheet might melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah, that ice sheet could raise ocean levels by what, 12 feet?
20.
20 feet?
20 feet.
My parents' house is 10 feet above sea level. So it would be 10 feet below sea level.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The mix of IPCC models have Greenland contributing 8.7 inches to global sea level rise by 2100, without the doubling of the super glacial lakes. That's what those lakes on top of the ice are called. But the team fears that that a doubling could add almost as much as that over the next century. So yeah, so then you're looking at 16, 17 inches, within that century.
Yeah.
So
hope you don't have beachfront property.
Yeah, not so good. Not so good. Of course, all of this is subject to change. We are in an ever-changing environment, and we're still learning more about it.
Yeah. I mean, what? I mean, it was a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months ago, that we covered that the ice melting models had changed because they found out that things were refreezing from under the caps, and so the estimates were longer than expected.
Right, like, and some of the ice sheets are actually much deeper underneath than we found out.
There's always stuff to learn, but we are still trending in the melting direction, and that is not good.
Yeah, one of the bad things about actually finding out that some of the glaciers that are, you know, over ocean, the ones that are much deeper than we had originally anticipated, that actually means that there's even more fresh water that's being sequestered.
Yeah.
So if all of that goes away, which is kind of the way many of the models look, regardless of how thick it is, eventually it's still going to melt all the way down. That then changes the salinity models, which changes the entire forecast for the way the oceans circulate.
Yeah, changes all the ocean currents, which changes weather patterns.
And that's bad, okay? Well, I say bad. Maybe it's not bad. We don't even know.
Okay?
It's going to be different.
Shit's going to get real.
You are correct. Shit's going to get real.
Let's put it this way. It's going to change. And all of our abilities to predict the weather and whatnot are going to be as imperfect as they are right now, because we don't know shit about the weather. They're all going to change. We're going to have to start at ground zero. Meanwhile, superstorms are going to start developing that are going to have the ability to wipe out even the more advanced, more prepared cities. So this is all bad.
Yeah.
This is all bad news.
Not so good, Al. Not so good. Google is suing a Mississippi attorney general alleging internet censorship. So,
cool.
And that's just in. Just in. So,
woohoo. You go, Google, you go.
That's the good stuff right there. Also, just a couple little notes that aren't even worthy putting in anywhere. Apparently, where was it? Oh, it just went away.
Womp womp.
Stupid. So many links. Putin was named Russia's Man of the Year for the 15th time in a row. Shocking, right?
That's total surprise.
Yes. And
a million years.
Cenk Unger, the chief correspondent and talking head over at the Young Turks, the largest internet news organization, challenged the ex-CIA chief Hayden. Would you be willing to take rectal rehydration? Just, you know, since this happened on your watch, would you be willing to do it?
Womp womp.
Yeah, probably not. And also, Bill Nye managed to use emoji to perfectly explain evolution.
Nice.
I'm going to put that one actually down as my pick.
All right.
I think everyone needs to see that. And it's obviously very visual, so we can't really do it justice here on the show right now.
Yeah.
So that gets us down into picks. And that was mine. So, David, do you have anything?
Looking at me?
Yeah.
I'm looking at you.
Right now. You don't have one? Well, see, I sort of had my pick at the beginning of the show, because as I said before, 2 weeks ago, I went and saw a production of Phantom of the Opera, put on at the new, Performing Arts Center here in downtown Orlando.
Yes. Okay.
And, the site was beautiful, but, and very, very cool. So if you're in the area, you can go see it, but, just in general, and I'll have to get the data on the group that is putting on this show, because I know they're touring so that you can catch them in other places. It's a mobile show. But I had never seen Phantom of the Opera before, and it was fantastic. I mean, I knew what Phantom of the Opera was about, but if you've never seen it, it's not the same. And seeing the show, it's a great show. If you were even just the slightest bit interested in musical theater, or maybe in just dipping your toe in the pool and seeing if you like it, Phantom is a great show to start with.
Yes, of course, that show has now wrapped. And today was actually, this is at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts, drphillipscenter.org. The Orlando Ballet is performing The Nutcracker December 19th through the December 21st, so this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
And also that's, then, oh, The Book of Mormon is coming December 26th through January 4th. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. I've not seen that show, but that's another one that's supposed to be.
Oh, I think you need to see it. If you get a chance, tickets are starting at $38.75.
All right.
So honestly, that's not so bad. No. Not so bad for a musical, folks. And, the Dr. Phillips Center is, an immaculate piece of construction. So it's looking awfully nice.
It's a little beautiful
centerpiece. Yeah. So I think that's going to wrap us up for today, gentlemen. What do you think? We done?
Alrighty.
Okay.
Boom.
I'm good.
You're done?
I'm ready to go blow up some aliens.
Right on. Of course, that song means that I'm going to do the exit script. That's it for tonight. We'll be back next Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, the conversation continues on the web. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's orellyradio.com for all the links right up there at the top of the page. And do watch us live and chat in the IRC at the page. If you have liked what we do here, you can help keep the lights on. You can follow us. Follow the Help Us link on the webpage over to patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N. That's my name. If that's too rich for you, contribute to the show with topic ideas, corrections, advertising offers, publisher's clearinghouse entries, hate mail, unsolicited email advice, and all that can be found over at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 470-222-ORLY. That's 6759. And post and vote in stories on the subreddit. Leave us a glowing review on whatever platform you found us on. And, of course, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google+, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Can't thank you enough for spending some time with us tonight. Until next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowen Services Network. Music produced by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.com.